Rapid Fire. Centennial. Legion marks 100th anniversary of St. Louis Caucus. 100 years earlier, to the day, nearly 1,100 volunteers of the Great War were gathered in St. Louis for the first stateside caucus of the American Legion. 50 years earlier, to the day, then American Legion National Commander William C. Doyle issued a letter to whoever would be his successor as leader of the nation's largest veterans organization on its 100th anniversary. We don't know what your world will be like, but we know it will be different from ours, Doyle wrote to the Centennial National Commander, Brett P. Reistad of Virginia. We are confident that if in your era there is an American Legion of substance, and if there is a need for the type of service the American Legion was founded to provide, you will be providing it then, just as we are now. American Legion past Department of Missouri Commander Charles Gooden read the letter in a ceremony May 10th in front of the newly refurbished American Legion Memorial in St. Louis that commemorates the city's place in the infancy of the organization. Reistad plans to write his own letter, one to be shared with the national commander on the 150th anniversary of the American Legion. Following the spring meeting of the Legion's National Executive Committee, hundreds of members and their families, representing 15 departments, poured into St. Louis for a centennial commemoration that featured Legion exhibits, tours of the newly restored Soldiers' Memorial and Military Museum in the city, a mayoral proclamation, a wreath-laying ceremony, and a luncheon at the Missouri Athletic Club. The St. Louis Caucus was here, American Legion past National Commander Joseph Frank explained. The preamble of the American Legion Constitution was written here. I think it's awesome that people have come from all over the nation to participate in the ceremonies we are having here at the Soldiers' Memorial and Military Museum. He said that until this year's restoration, this museum was in jeopardy. The city didn't have the money to repair it. They tried. The Missouri Veterans Commission that I chaired would give them $1 million, but that didn't get far. We had an anonymous donor who gave $30 million, and now this memorial and museum is back up to par, and the American Legion is certainly a part of this huge dedication. Caption: Legionnaires attend a ceremony celebrating the 100th anniversary of the St. Louis Caucus at the Soldiers' Memorial and Military Museum in St. Louis on May 10th. The museum also pays significant respect to the role African-American military personnel and veterans from St. Louis have fulfilled through the decades. William Curtis, vice commander of the traditionally black Tom Powell Post 77 in St. Louis, said the Legion's early acceptance of all veterans is important to us. We had a large population of African-Americans here, many of whom served previously in World War I and went overseas from here. It was important to us that they held the St. Louis Caucus here. We love America, like everyone else. We want to defend it and defend our families, our country. Curtis said Post 77 was the first of its kind to become chartered as an African-American post in September 1919, decades before the military would desegregate. He said the post grew to about 1,500 members after World War I. And while numbers have declined in recent years, Post 77 is now working to attract younger veterans into its ranks. We want to continue our legacy, he said. American Legion Department of Missouri Commander Kerry Boardman called it an honor to walk in the footsteps of 1,079 delegates, 73 of whom were Missourians, who attended the first caucus in St. Louis, May 8th to 10th, 1919, at the Schubert Jefferson Theater, approximately two blocks from here. The theater no longer stands, but there is a bank building there that has a plaque on the side as a tribute to the American Legion, that it still stands on the principles of community, state, and nation. American Legion past National Commander David K. Rebine of Iowa, chairman of the organization's 100th Anniversary Observance Committee, told the crowd that the 1919 St. Louis Caucus established values which have stood the test of time. There were three rules, he explained. We still live by those today. First, the St. Louis caucus would be totally nonpartisan. There would be no political parties operating at the St. Louis caucus. Second, there would be no distinction based on location of service. Third, when they went into the caucus, they would be a civilian organization. It wouldn't matter what rank you wore on your arm or your shoulder. Everyone in that caucus hall was equal. Our preamble and constitution came out of that caucus. We recite that preamble every time we gather together. Those words are engraved in our hearts and our minds. Reistad said, the Legion's four pillars have proven equally durable over the past century. Veterans, a strong national defense, children and youth, and Americanism. Those four pillars have resonated for 100 years and continue to endure because they are timeless, just like the preamble to the American Legion Constitution, drafted here. This is important to us. The first U.S. caucus held in St. Louis, added Department of Missouri Adjutant Lowry Finley Jackson, who coordinated the event. It's about us. It's about everybody. Finley Jackson has helped lead the state's Legion Centennial effort and serves on the National 100th Anniversary Observance Committee as well. As the celebration wound down, Reb Ein reflected on the founders' enthusiasm, vitality, and sense of purpose. I hope as this group leaves here to head home that we can take a small bit of that with each of us, because we are moving into the second century. Think about those veterans. Think about what they felt as they got into cars and trains on their way home. Take a little of that with you. Jeff Stauffer. Scouting. SAL member named Legion's Eagle Scout of the Year. Jaden Anderson of Provo, Utah, is the American Legion's 2019 Eagle Scout of the Year and will receive a $10,000 scholarship. Anderson, a Sons of the American Legion member of Squadron 13, is a senior at Tempview High School and earned all 138 Boy Scouts of America merit badges. He attended Utah Boys State last summer and is a recipient of the American Legion School Award Medal. For his Eagle Scout project, Anderson worked with the U.S. Forest Service in Payson Lakes in Utah to restain old bridges along the main trail and plant more than 250 shrubs where people were making their own trails. His goal was to encourage people to use the main, more sustainable trails and keep the rest of the landscape from degradation. The project involved more than 30 volunteers and 200 hours of service. Anderson has attended more than 20 scout camps and has served his community in various ways, including gathering food and other items for the Utah Guard Pantry Drive, which supports unemployed, underemployed, and military families in need. The son of a late Utah National Guard soldier, Anderson volunteers for the Little Warriors Camp, which serves families of U.S. troops who died in combat or by suicide upon return. Honor and remembrance. It's going to be historic, emotional. It'll be the last big gathering. Tom Travis, on flying the restored C-47 troop carrier, That's All, Brother, to France for the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion in June. In 1944, the U.S. warplane spearheaded the Allies' main invasion force, leading nearly 900 planes that dropped some 13,000 paratroopers. Following the war, it was sold on the civilian market and changed hands nearly a dozen times before Air Force historians tracked the aircraft to an aviation boneyard in Wisconsin. The Texas-based Commemorative Air Force purchased That's All, Brother, in 2015. A crew now travels with it, offering flights to veterans and others. Key resolutions of the 2019 spring meetings. Americanism, 23, urges posts to participate in Constitution Day activities each year. 24, commends the Joe Foss Institute for helping educate veterans, students, and teachers about liberty, U.S. military history, and patriotic values, and for championing a citizenship civics test in high schools as a condition of graduation. 25. Commends Girl Scouts of the USA for serving as a preeminent leadership development organization for girls. Finance. 7. Acceptance of financial grants from organizations that align with American Legion purposes and policies. Internal Affairs. 15. Commends Statues of Liberation Project in Saint-Mère-Église, Normandy, France, to install statues of Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt, Jr. and Supreme Allied Commander Europe, General Dwight Eisenhower. 16. Urges all posts to actively mentor and develop forums for youth academic programs in their communities. 17. Create and promote Veterans Service Days to provide outreach to veterans regarding benefits and services. 19. Urges all posts to actively support youth sports programs in their communities. 20. Promotion of family play day events at posts. Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation. 10. Allow updating of burn pit registry with cause of death of a deceased registered individual by a designated individual or immediate family member. 12. Establish new eligibility criteria for burial and interment at Arlington National Cemetery. Veterans Employment and Education. 13. Support robust enforcement of Military Lending Act. Go online for the full text of all 30 resolutions passed at the meetings. archive.legion.org. Click on Resolutions. Spring Meetings. Reistad praises buddy checks, urges posts to be inclusive. In his remarks to the American Legion's National Executive Committee, National Commander Brett Reistad praised departments that processed temporary financial assistance, TFA, applications for Coast Guard families, and gave generously to the Veterans and Children's Foundation, then encouraged Legion leaders to ask their senators and representatives to support the Legion Act on Capitol Hill. He also paid tribute to an outstanding national commander, tremendous veterans advocate, and a great friend, past National Commander William Detweiler, who passed away March 27th. The Legion Act would allow any veteran who served honorably under federal orders since World War II to join the American Legion, expanding membership eligibility to hundreds of thousands of veterans. Even so, the solution to increasing membership is in engaging people, Reistad said. In the week leading up to the Legion's 100th birthday in March, Reistad called for posts, districts, and departments to create buddy check teams to call current and former members to see how they're doing. I know it to be true. Those participating in buddy checks will see positive results, said Reistad, citing the Department of New Hampshire's request for posts to contact at least 10% of their membership each month. Reistad also encouraged posts to be inclusive. Veterans of every demographic need to feel welcome in our American Legion family, he said. It goes without saying that men and women who meet our eligibility requirements need to be welcomed regardless of their ethnicity, religion, or orientation. And do they have equal opportunities to advance at the post, district, department, and national levels? As for age discrimination, it runs two ways, he added. We all love to see new, young members, but that never excuses pushing out experienced, loyal members who have served their country and their American Legion for many years. We will always have the common bond of military service, and we need to ensure that bond continues in service to the American Legion. Reistad applauded the NEC for adopting Resolution 18, which calls for twice-a-year buddy checks, the weeks of the Legion's birthday and Veterans Day, and Resolution 11, which opposes VA charging copays for treatment of service-connected disabilities. $1.1 million plus, amount awarded in 2019 Legacy Scholarship dollars to 57 students. 8. American Legion departments at 100% membership by the May 8th target date. Alabama, France, Hawaii, Idaho, Mexico, Philippines, Utah, and Wyoming. $1.2 million plus. Total in donations made to American Legion programs during spring meetings. $1,013,086. Amount donated to the Temporary Financial Assistance Program alone, after TFA provided more than $1 million in grants to Coast Guard families. Capitol Hill. Vets in Congress form for Country Caucus. A bipartisan group of military veterans serving in Congress has launched the For Country Caucus, a collection of House members that will provide principled military veteran members a platform to work in a nonpartisan way and create a more productive government. Announcing the creation for the For Country Caucus in the Washington Post, the group's founders say they envision a less polarized Congress that works for and is trusted by Americans. A Congress where members serve with integrity, civility, and courage. A Congress that is strategic in purpose, focused in action, and where elected officials put their country first. The group notes that just decades ago, veterans made up more than 70% of Congress. An ingrained commitment to public service brought these Democrats and Republicans together to put country over party. In contrast, today, veteran representation in Congress is near a historic low of 18%, and Congress is often paralyzed by debilitating bickering and gridlock. Members of the For Country Caucus say these trends aren't a coincidence, noting that during their time in the military, their actions were in service to and for country. The group's founders say they are committed to continuing that ethos in Congress through the For Country Caucus. The For Country Caucus was formed by Representatives Jimmy Panetta, Democrat, California, Don Bacon, Republican, Nebraska, Chrissy Houlihan, Democrat, Pennsylvania, and Michael Waltz, Republican, Florida. War on terrorism. Iran's toll on U.S. troops. Pentagon officials have revised the number of U.S. troops killed by Iranian-backed militias during Operation Iraqi Freedom from 500 to 603, Military Times reports. That means roughly one in every six American combat facilities in Iraq were attributable to Iran, according to Military Times. The paper reports that the deaths are attributed to proxies sponsored by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. According to Pentagon spokesman Navy Commander Sean Robertson, these casualties were the result of explosively formed penetrators, EFPs, other improvised explosive devices, IEDs, improvised rocket-assisted munitions, IRAMs, rockets, mortars, rocket-propelled grenades, RPGs, small arms, sniper, and other attacks in Iraq. Defense. Pentagon eyes Polish base. Pentagon officials are working with Polish military officials on a plan to permanently base U.S. troops in Poland, Military Times reports. Poland set the plan in motion with an offer to contribute $2 billion or more for a permanent U.S. military base on Polish soil as a hedge against Russian aggression and mischief in Eastern Europe. After senior U.S. defense officials met with Polish officials in Warsaw, Catherine Wielbarger, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs, told a House committee, "We have come forward with what we think is a very serious, robust offer, and we're just working out some of the technicalities." The United States has deployed troops in Poland on a rotational basis for years, but a more permanent base is helpful because of the mission they have. According to General Curtis Scaparotti, commander of U.S. European Command and NATO's top military commander, the agreement could take months to be finalized, followed by a couple of years before we would be dealing with an actual base, Scaparotti said. The Polish Defense Ministry lists the regions of Bydgoszcz and Toruń as possible locations for the hypothetical U.S. base. By the numbers, Bill of Rights and Wrongs. 50% of Americans who believe liberty is one of the five freedoms protected by the First Amendment. 49% of Americans who believe the pursuit of happiness is one of the freedoms listed in the First Amendment. 26% of Americans who know how many amendments comprise the Bill of Rights. 57% of Americans who say the First Amendment is at risk. Legion Baseball. It taught me the game. Hall of Famer Lee Smith recalls lessons of American Legion Baseball. Class of 2019 National Baseball Hall of Famer Lee Smith grew up in a rural farming area of Louisiana where, if you wanted to run around a diamond on a summer afternoon, you'd better have your chores done in the morning. Smith, who played 18 years of Major League Baseball for 8 teams and collected 30 or more saves as a relief pitcher in 11 seasons, was a special guest at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, for a Department of New York event celebrating the American Legion's centennial. Between autograph sessions and an on-stage talk before Legionnaires and fans, he spoke with the American Legion magazine. What was it like for you, growing up on a farm, to play baseball in the summer? I was originally born in a little town called Jamestown, which still doesn't have a red light, and we moved up to another small town, Castor, and we still didn't have a red light. I started out playing sandlot ball, and a couple of guys saw me. I got to be a sophomore in high school and started getting a little more into playing the game. I went to a couple of my coaches and community people who knew about baseball and loved the game. A guy named Bobby Gray talked me into playing Legion baseball. Most of the kids back in the day had chores, so I had to work baseball into my regimen of the day. How did that work out? I went to the little town of Minden, Louisiana, where I first started to play American Legion baseball. I sat the bench there for most of the year. I wasn't good enough to make the team. A good friend of mine, Danny Myers, a catcher who came from Castor, we talked to some guys and ended up going to Natchitoches, Louisiana, where I got to play American Legion baseball. I will never forget my first game I actually pitched. My whole family was there. I never will forget my grandmother giving the coach a hard time. She said, "Hey, I came to the game today, and it was the first time I ever wore a pantsuit, so don't take him out early." I told her, "It's not going to be up to the coach. It's going to be up to the other team and me to see how long I stay in the game." I went 7 innings, and the rest is history. What were some of the values you learned from American Legion Baseball? When I got into American Legion Baseball, we were all 100 miles apart because we were spread out in the country. It didn't matter where you came from, you were a team. You got that sportsmanship. If I am facing you and I make a bad pitch and you hit a home run off me, I am not going to get bent out of shape. How did Legion Baseball develop your playing skills? American Legion Baseball really started my career, learning and understanding the game and why coaches do certain things. The hit and run, learning how to read a bat, learning not only how to pitch around guys, but when to go in and go out. I learned to go out there and put your best foot forward. Don't second-guess yourself. I didn't fail a lot at American Legion Baseball, but it taught me the game, how to handle myself. What about the friendships? When we played a game, the whole family, not just the team, went to this restaurant called The Cotton Patch in Natchitoches. We would always go and talk about the game. Families would meet each other. Families started getting together in the stands, even if you weren't playing. That's why I don't say I have teammates. I have family members. How do you think youth baseball has changed? So many guys now get hung up on being the best, but you've got to take a chance of failing to win. I think so many families move obstacles out of a kid's way so they don't have to work hard. I want to work for it. You've got 15 to 20 guys on a team and everybody gets a trophy, even the guy who didn't show up for practice. Back in the day, you got one trophy, and that was MVP for the team that won it all. You are now one of 81 former American Legion baseball players in the Hall of Fame, about one quarter of the 329 who are enshrined. What does that mean to you?
It's been really amazing seeing where I came from. A town that doesn't have a red light, from a hayfield to playing American Legion baseball to the Hall of Fame. Jeff Stauffer. National Convention. Tours showcase the best of Indianapolis. Lou White Tours is offering several tour opportunities during the 101st National Convention in Indianapolis. Indianapolis City Tour, Indy 101, $39 in advance, $45 on site, August 23rd, 24th, 26th. This two-hour tour includes Monument Circle, the State Capitol, Scottish Rite Cathedral, American Legion National Headquarters, the American Legion Mall, Union Station, Circle Center Mall, the Indianapolis Zoo, the Indianapolis Museum of Art, the Children's Museum, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Lucas Oil Stadium, the Governor's Residence, and Central Canal. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, $49 in advance, $55 on site, August 23rd, 24th, 26th. Enjoy a narrated tour of this 100-year-old racing circuit while traveling around its 2.5-mile oval track. Get off the bus at the start-finish line and kiss the famous Yard of Bricks. Also included is admission to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum, which displays several cars that won the Indy 500 and other racing memorabilia. Indianapolis Monuments and Memorials Tour, $39 in advance, $45 on site, August 23rd, 24th, 26th. Indianapolis is second only to Washington, D.C. in the number of monuments and memorials. This tour stops at the Soldiers and Sailors Monument and Colonel Eli Lilly Civil War Museum, the Indiana World War Memorial, the Congressional Medal of Honor Memorial, the World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam War Memorial, and the USS Indianapolis Memorial. You'll also see University Park Monument, the American Legion Mall, the Veterans Memorial Plaza, and the 9/11 Memorial. Rolls-Royce, Allison, Aircraft Engine Museum. $24 in advance, $29 on site, August 23rd. Allison Engine Company, now Rolls-Royce, designed and built Liberty engines for aircraft during World War I, developed the power plant for the new generation of Army Air Corps fighters during World War II, and continued working with the military after the war. It also produced the AE-3007 jet engine, which powers many 50-passenger regional jets used by airlines around the world. The museum collection includes these historical engines and others, as well as several turbine engines designed for automobiles. Edinburgh Premium Outlet Center, $39 in advance, $45 on site, August 24th. Simon Property Group, the largest U.S. shopping mall developer, has a premium outlet centers about 30 minutes from Indianapolis. Stores include Ann Taylor, Adidas, Van Heusen, Izod, Lyft, Polo, Ralph Lauren, Vera Bradley, Calvin Klein, Guess, Levi, Tommy Hilfiger, Lane Bryant, Columbia, Coach, Under Armour, Eddie Bauer, and Nike. Ruby Tuesday, McDonald's, and Cracker Barrel are across the parking lot. Camp Atterbury Tour, $39 in advance, $45 on site, August 23rd, 26th. Camp Atterbury, covering over 40,000 acres in south-central Indiana, was a major combat training facility during World War II, as well as an Italian and German POW camp. Today, Camp Atterbury is one of two facilities that trains regular and reserve forces before deployment overseas. This tour includes the Camp Atterbury Museum, activation, unit training, and the motor pool. A separate open-air museum features several World War II-related items, including tanks. American Legion Auxiliary National Headquarters Tour, $25 in advance, $30 on site, August 23rd, 26th. See the new American Legion Auxiliary, ALA, National Headquarters Building on the northwest side of the city, with expanded meeting spaces and the Cavalcade of Memories History Museum, displaying ALA's large collection of artifacts. Shuttle to and from American Legion Headquarters, $10 in advance, $15 on site, August 23rd, 26th. Hop on the bus at the Convention Center and travel to American Legion National Headquarters. Enjoy a self-guided tour of the building. Just follow the arrows on the floor. Staff members will be available to answer questions. Stay as long as you like, knowing that every 15 minutes, you may hop on a bus to return to the Convention Center. On August 23rd, shuttle buses operate from 1 p.m. to 5:10 p.m. On August 26th, they operate from 10 a.m. to 5:10 p.m. Legion Family Night with the Colts. On August 24th, the Indianapolis Colts take on the Chicago Bears at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. The Colts have extended a special ticket offer to the Legion family. Prices are $40 for the 600-level sideline, $54 for the 400-level end zone, and $59 for the 400-level corners. Place orders at coltsgroups.com/American Legion or download and fill out an order form at legion.org/convention/resources. Tour registration is open online. Attendees can also register on site at the Indiana Convention Center, legion.org/convention/resources. Legion Baseball. Vote online for ALB's All-Centennial Team. American Legion Baseball is honoring its greatest players since 1925 by announcing an All-Centennial Team. Fans will be able to vote online at legion.org/baseball/vote for the roster of 18 players and two coaches, which will be announced at the 2019 American Legion Baseball World Series in Shelby, North Carolina, August 14th through the 20th. A list of 85 nominees, including all 78 former ALB players inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame as players or coaches, was presented to the American Legion Baseball Committee, which trimmed the number to 60 for a fan vote. The nominees are catchers Johnny Bench, Yogi Berra, Gary Carter, Carlton Fisk, Mike Piazza, Yvonne Rodriguez. First baseman Jeff Bagwell, Harmon Killebrew, Albert Pujols, Eddie Murray, Willie Stargell, Jim Thome. Second baseman Roberto Alomar, Paul Molitor, Joe Morgan, Ryan Sandberg. Shortstops Barry Larkin, Pee Wee Reese, Alan Trammell, Robin Yount. Third baseman Wade Boggs, George Brett, Chipper Jones, Eddie Matthews, Brooks Robinson. Outfielders Barry Bonds, Tony Gwynn, Reggie Jackson, Al Kaline, Ralph Kiner, Stan Musial, Frank Robinson, Ted Williams, Dave Winfield, Carl Yastrzemski. Starting pitchers, Bert Blylevin, Jim Bunning, Steve Carlton, Roger Clemens, Don Drysdale, Bob Feller, Bob Gibson, Roy Halladay, Greg Maddox, Phil Niekro, Jim Palmer, Gaylord Perry, Tom Seaver, Warren Spahn, Justin Verlander. Relief pitchers, Raleigh Fingers, Trevor Hoffman, Lee Smith, Bruce Sutter, Hoyt Wilhelm. Coaches, Sparky Anderson, Bobby Cox, Tony La Russa, Joe Torre, Earl Weaver. The 25 honorable mentions are, by position, Roy Campanella, Don Mattingly, Bobby Doerr, Nellie Fox, Joe Gordon, Lou Boudreau, George Kell, Ron Santo, Richie Ashburn, Harold Baines, Bryce Harper, Joe Medwick, Tim Raines, Jim Rice, Tom Glavin, Catfish Hunter, Bob Lemon, Jack Morris, Mike Mussina, Hal Neuhauser, Robin Roberts, Max Scherzer, Early Wynn, Whitey Herzog, and Dick Williams. Jeremy Field. Centennial. Post 29, Marietta, Georgia. Horace Orr Post 29 was first chartered in 1919, but it wasn't until 1940 that its current auxiliary unit was chartered. A photo on the post's centennial celebration timeline shows the kickoff of the unit's annual poppy sale in 1956. Pictured from left are Post Commander Cecil Dudley, Marietta Mayor Sam Welch, Unit President Mrs. Robert Boyd, and Mrs. R. A. Wheeler. Share your post's legacy. Upload stories, photos, and videos of your American Legion post's history. Legion.org/centennial. Education. Refunds of GI Bill education benefits. Question. I have been attending college using my post-9/11 GI Bill benefits. I plan on receiving my bachelor's in education. Last spring, though, I had to drop my classes during the first week of school due to health reasons. My school refunded my tuition of $15,800. My post-9/11 GI Bill paid my tuition. So why did I receive the refund and not VA? When you dropped your classes, VA advised the school that it must follow its established refund policy. So it did, and refunded you the money. Once the school reports the drop, VA may create a debt for the tuition and fees. Generally, overpayments of VA benefits are the responsibility of the student. However, if you dropped prior to school starting or on the first day, the school must return the tuition and fees payment to VA. Valerie Hefner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask Valerie at legion.org. Personal finance. Focus on finances. J.J. Montanaro. How does your financial well-being stack up? In late 2016, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau established what it called the Financial Well-Being Survey and Scale. The idea is that well-being goes beyond financial literacy, what you know you should be doing, to what you actually are doing. This concept caught my attention recently when I was doing some related research. The approach is a bit of a surprise. Since the survey attempts to assess where you stand with your finances, you might expect it to be filled with questions about retirement plan numbers, credit card balances, and the like. Instead, it consists of 10 core statements that the survey taker agrees with on a sliding scale from completely to not at all. I thought it might be instructive to dig into a few of the survey statements. I could handle a major unexpected expense. I see where they are going here. The emergency fund. Very regularly, we see stats showing how Americans are ill-prepared for even a bite-size emergency. In April, I saw a Federal Reserve study that indicated 58% of Americans didn't even have $500 set aside to respond to the unexpected. I am securing my financial future. This statement screams, save and invest. Lotto tickets and rich relatives are not going to be the engines that drive most of our financial futures. However, systematically saving and investing may get the job done. I have money left over at the end of the month. This one is all about budgeting. When I'm on the road talking with service members and their families, I like to turn the table on the audience and, instead of focusing on budgeting, focus on the why behind budgeting. It's not about the budget. It's about accomplishing what you want to accomplish. If you focus on the projected and expected outcomes, budgeting can turn from a grind into a liberating experience. I am concerned that the money I have or will save won't last. This is an interesting question. At first, I think about individuals on the brink of retirement who are concerned their nest eggs aren't big enough. That's an understandable concern. Vanguard provides 401k accounts for more than 4 million Americans, and a recent release pegged the median 401k balance of their plan participants 65 and older at less than $60,000. That indicates a potential issue for most folks. No matter where you are on the spectrum of life, it's not too late to start adding to your personal nest egg. My finances control my life. Control is a strong word, but no matter how you feel about money, it does influence every aspect of your life. Think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Whether you're at the bottom and looking at food, clothing, or shelter, or at the top and considering lofty charitable and self-actualization goals, money is either a roadblock or a facilitator. If you're feeling money stress, my best advice is don't go it alone. Whether you seek out the assistance of an attorney, a credit counselor, or a financial planner, they can help you map out a plan to get to a better place. Take the whole survey online at cfpb.gov/consumer-tools/financial-well-being. It doesn't provide nearly enough information to develop a comprehensive financial plan. However, there's plenty of info to alert you whether you need to shift into a healthier financial lifestyle. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Submit questions for him online. Legion.org/USAA/focus-on-finances. By the numbers, troops weigh in on issues. A wide-ranging poll of active-duty personnel and veterans from all branches of the military conducted by Smithsonian Magazine and Stars and Stripes reveals 90% would join the military again if given the opportunity. 87% would want their son, daughter, to serve in the military. 84% believe the intervention in Afghanistan has gone on too long. 84% believe the intervention in Iraq has gone on too long. 83% support the continuation of the war on terrorism. 70% support deployment of female troops in ground combat situations. 65% support deployment of U.S. troops at the U.S.-Mexican border to prevent illegal entry. 41% believe veterans are being fully treated for their physical military injuries. 39% approve of transgender people in the military.